it now. My ship is coming in. I'll keep checking the horizon, and I'll stand on the bow and feel the waves come crashing, come crashing down, down, down. Up your heart, let the light shine in. Don't you understand? I already have a plan. I'm waiting for my real life to begin.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio. We're using Studio A, right? This is Studio A. This is Studio A. We're all using the same studio now because they're deep cleaning the studio that we normally use. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live here until 4, as we are every weekday night into morning. And we're here with you for 24/7 here. WGN is here 24/7 to get us through this very strange and kind of scary time. And we're going to talk about things that you can do virtually, where you can watch virtual, you can go to virtual museums, things that you can do while you're stuck inside the house. We're gonna play back some classic stand-up. Matthew Klickstein is gonna join us. He is an author and a pop culture historian and a screenwriter, and we're gonna talk about some of the books that he's written and things like that. And so we're going to keep you company here. We're here 24/7. We're with you, and we're going to keep you informed as well. It's a scary time, obviously. Some very strange things happening in the world, but we want you to know that we got your back. And WGN is here 24/7. I'm here till 4. My producer Tom Hush is here, and we're going to keep you informed. The news is always happening here, and we're also going to keep you entertained. And that's what we're going to do. That song that you just heard at the top of the show is by my first guest this evening, and I could not be more excited. I am a massive fan of this man, Colin Hay, from best known from Men at Work and many other things. But let's welcome Colin to the show. Hello, Colin.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good.
How yourself?
Good. I'm good. It's a little strange right now, Colin, as we all know. So
it's good, as you were saying, to be there 24/7, because I think that radio becomes very, very, you know, very, very important.
Yeah.
As a way to connect with people, for sure.
Yeah, and especially because I do the overnights, Colin, and it's a very intimate time period to be on the radio, because a lot of people, you know, are lonely. Some people can't sleep. Some people have a baby that they have to take care of. So I feel very connected to my audience, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a great thing, though, isn't it? Because it makes you feel really useful.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. it's such a pleasure to talk to you, Colin. I have been such a big fan of yours for so many years, since the very first Men at Work album, and I think you're great, man. I'm very excited to talk to you. So.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that. The last few years has been really great for me. I've made lots of new friends, and I've been touring North America for the last 25 years or so. And so, as you said before, talking about the radio, I've managed to connect with a lot of people, and I have a nourishing thing going out on the road and playing for people, and people have been very kind to me, mm-hmm. so I feel very grateful for that.
So you got you are working on a new record for 2020.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a lot of time in my hands now. I'm home, so I have a very small group of people here that I surround myself with. So just my wife and I here, and a couple of close family members and friends. And so I'm down in the studio a lot, working on songs, and it's pretty great, I have to say. Even although this is a very, very strange time, I feel very oddly hopeful about a lot of things. I think that it's, I just feel like it's important to stay in the present and not get too carried away with what's down the road, because I mean it could be very big, or this social isolating could do its work, and it could, you know, we could see the numbers of new infections dropping in the next few weeks. But
yeah.
That would be a great thing.
It would be, of course.
If you're older, that's a tricky thing. It's funny, I was watching the television yesterday, and they were talking about, you know, the danger of that's more dangerous just if you're elderly and so forth, and I'm giving stats and the age figures, and I thought, my God, that's me. I'm now a senior.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm looking forward to have an early morning hour where only seniors are allowed to go in supermarkets.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to being carded.
That's great. Colin Hay is with us from Men at Work and so many other things, and has such a great career and has recorded and written so many great songs. Colin is with us. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll jump right back into the conversation with Colin Hay from Men at Work and more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number right here on 720 WGN.
Is it party time? If it is, can we all come? Don't think that we don't know. Don't think that we're not trying. Don't think we move too slow. It's no use after crying, saying it's a mistake.
Another great song that I adore. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN live in the Skyline Studio A here until 4 o'clock, keeping you company, keeping you informed, and being with you as we get through this thing right now. But we want to entertain you, too, and I'm so pleased that my first guest is with us, Colin Hay from Men at Work. Colin, let's talk a little bit about...
That's not bad, that tune. I was listening to it as it was going by. It kind of rolls along pretty good. I haven't listened to that one for ages.
Yeah, that's not... You haven't listened to that one in a while?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I play it sometimes, but I haven't actually listened to it for quite a while.
Let's talk about the beginning of Men at Work. How did you guys all get together?
I met Ron Stryker, the guitar player, I think around 77, I think it was. And I was going off to do a musical called Ned Kelly. And I met Ron just before I did that. And I said to him, when I come back from doing this musical, let's you and I work together. So that's what we did around 78, and we were an acoustic duo for quite a while. We wrote a bunch of songs, and it was very good period for both of us. It was very creative, and he was a very inspirational guy to work with. So we wrote songs like Down Under and different songs during that period, and then Jerry, the drummer, Jerry Spicer, who I went to university with, I'd met him when I went to university, and so he joined us. We were a three-piece for a minute. And then Greg Hamm, I'd known since 72 or something, since I was at school, and asked Gregory to play with us, and he joined us soon after that. And so we were four-piece for a little while, and then Ron switched to guitar because he'd been playing bass. And John, who's a friend of Jerry's, joined. So over the course of like 2 or 3 months, really, from, say, June to October, I think it was, something like that, in 1979, it fell together.
Okay. And then so when the first album came out, it was such a big hit for you guys, and you were on the cusp when you guys first hit the radio and everything. It was right at the kind of the beginning of the popularity of music videos, and you guys did some of the most memorable ones. Was it fun to do the videos?
Yeah, it was great fun. It was just another way and it was just another interesting thing to do, you know. We enjoyed it. Greg had been on stage. I'd done a little bit, but we just kind of made up. We didn't have any money, really, so because the record label didn't give you really much money, so you had to just kind of find a crew that could shoot, a camera crew, and find a good location and just come up with something interesting to do. So that's how we approached it.
Yeah, well, they were. I mean, there's classic. I mean, that you know, when MTV really took off right around that time in the early '80s, when you guys hit, and some of the videos that you guys did are some of the classic videos from the '80s that really founded MTV. You know.
Yeah, well, it was just synchronistic. It was one of those things where we felt like we were part of something. And although we were creating a lot of things, we also felt like we were being swept along by it, you know. So it's one of those situations where you just kind of think, oh, this is our moment. We've got to step into the light here and shine.
Yeah.
if you want. And but it did coincide with, we had a lot of things going for us, you know. It's kind of one of those things where you just kind of, you're doing it yourself, you're part of it, but you're almost observing it as well, because it just seems like there's something at work which is, greater than the sum of the parts in a way, you know.
Yeah.
But we were always very ambitious, and we wanted to be a successful international, touring band and so forth, and that's what we worked on creating that, and there's lots of things that happened that conspired to help us become successful. We were playing in Sydney, and the A&R guy who had signed us brought down this American record producer, a guy called Peter McKeon, who I think spent a lot of time in Illinois, actually, in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
But his name's Peter McKeon, and he was in Sydney, and he saw us, and he really wanted to produce us, and so he ended up being the producer on the first two albums, and he was terrific. He really knew what he was doing, and created, really helped to create was largely responsible for just the way the band sounded on record, you know, because we whipped the songs into shape with him. So that was an important thing. And we had lots of things that happened. We managed to get the support act for Fleetwood Mac when we first came over here. I think it was in '82, and they were a huge act. And so we played to, many thousands of people in the course of 2 or 3 months. And so there were lots of things that happened that helped us along, and we were just getting swept along by it.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, I was 17 when your first album came out. I loved it. And your follow-up, you guys did the follow-up pretty quickly.
Yeah, we did the second record. We made a couple of classic blunders, you know. We released the second album too quickly because we thought we knew everything, and it turns out that we knew nothing. is the truth of it. But that's what happens when you have, youth and arrogance, and put those things together, and you think you know more than you do.
Yeah. Well,
we released the second album too quickly, and then it was really, by that stage, not a particularly happy band, so we we had a good run, you know. The music has stood up very well over time, so I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, some people might not know that you were you're Scottish, that you were born in Scotland, and then you moved to Australia.
Yeah. When why would they know that? You know, that's the least thing that's on people's minds at the moment.
No, I realize that, but
where I was born.
Well, but the reason why I bring it up is because, you know, I mean, you guys did a song called "I Come From a Land Down Under," and so you know, people right. I think just automatically assume that you're Australian. But you started out, you born in Scotland, then you moved to Australia. What was that transition like? Because you were like 14 when you moved to Australia.
It was fantastic. And, you know, you're 14 years old and you go to the other side of the world. It was incredible. It was a mind blowing experience that it's still just as vivid today as it was then. Really,
mm-hmm.
Everything is different. You know, the oceans are huge, and it was just a whole different continent. You know, everything was you know, in Scotland, it's a beautiful place, but there's a lot of social entrenchment. You know, there's the way things have been done. There's a kind of a class system, if you like. And, you know, my mother and father wanted to create a better life, so off we went to Australia. And it was just markedly different, you know, and I really enjoyed it. I started playing in bands pretty quickly and started going, you know, going down the surf with these friends of mine. I didn't actually really do much of that myself. I was playing the guitar mainly, but it was just like it was freedom, you know. It's just the closest thing to it that I've found, you know. It was a brilliant thing to do, and I really always applaud my parents for making that move.
Yeah. Hey, I'm curious, what's your writing process like? Do you write a lot, Colin?
Well, as I get older, I try and write more because you're running out, you know, you have less time left. So I'm probably not as lazy as I used to be. I'm still a bit lazy, but not as lazy as I used to be.
Yeah.
So, but I kind of put it off sometimes, or I just kind of pretend that I'm done and that I'm never going to really, you know, work again as a songwriter, and just kind of, I don't know what I would do, but I kind of, and then, you know, you kind of try and trick yourself, and then these ideas start popping into your head, and you just follow them where they take you, and be they musical ideas or, you know, lyrical ideas or rhythmic ideas. And I work with a friend of mine that lives up the road, and he's a bit older than me, so he also feels like he's running out of time. And so he came around in the last couple of months with like a bunch of great songs, great song ideas. So we worked on them. So we have like about 10 songs that we wrote together for this new record. And I have a bunch more that I'm still going to record in the next little while I'm here in isolation.
Yeah.
I might as well make the best use of the time possible, you know?
So do you enjoy, I mean, you've toured all over the place and you had to postpone and reschedule your tour dates for this year because of what's happening right now. Do you enjoy being on the road, Colin? Do you like touring?
I do like it. It's difficult to describe why, but there's something about it which is very addictive.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nourishing, I find it. For the most part, it's challenging because you have to, there's, you know, 1,000 people sitting in a room that for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and you have to entertain them and or make them feel like it was worth them getting off the sofa and getting into a car and coming to the show.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big responsibility, but it's a great thing, you know. It's like the greatest thing about being on the road for me is the energy involved with when you do a show. It's like an electric current in a way. That's the way best way I can find to describe it. Where you all of a sudden, if you're doing it right, you kind of plug in, and then it comes back off the audience, and it's this continuous current that really carries you through the show and beyond. You know, and that's really the drug of it all. You know, the reason why you do it is to have those moments where you're transported by it. You know.
I've seen you live a few times, Colin, and you're a tremendous live performer. You handle the crowd so well. It's always a pleasure to see you on stage.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, the last bunch of shows were going really well, and I was just, you know, a couple of steps ahead of the various government bodies, just saying, okay, right. No more shows over 500 people or something, you know. So I was a couple of steps ahead, and then it caught up with me, and I had to postpone it. But you know, worse things can happen.
Yeah.
And I think it is really, it's a very, very, it's important, I think, for people to help one another. If you're in a family, it's good to keep it, you know, to keep it small and to keep it contained and to keep it, you know, all those things that people are telling us to do. But it's also important to, you know, if someone's down the street, like, you know, we live with people and we know them and all that kind of stuff, you know, but you think to yourself, well, I know there's a few people that I know that live down the road that are not able to go to the stores, you know, so it's also just a way to connect with people that live nearby you and help wherever you can and get through it, hopefully with as few people dying as possible, because that's really the thing, isn't it? The people who are vulnerable or who've got conditions or who are older, that's the tragedy of it all, that people are dying from it. You know, it's not like it's just the flu and we get over it, which most people do, but you know, a set percentage and a relatively high percentage too are those. I think it's, I don't know what it is, maybe I think it's maybe 17% or something of people who are, can't remember the percentages, but they're not small.
Yeah. All right, Colin. Colin. We're gonna break here. Colin Hay is here from Men at Work. Lots more to talk about. 312-981-7200. I'm really thrilled, Colin Hay, on the show as the Nick DiGiulio Show continues right here on 720 WGN.
I can get to sleep. I think about the implications of diving in too deep, and possibly the complications. Especially at night, I worry over situations. I know we'll be all right. Perhaps it's just imagination. Day after day it reappears. Night after night my heartbeat shows the fear. Disappear and fade away. Alone between the sheets.
Truly, one of my favorite songs of all time. And the person who wrote it and performed it is on the show right now, Colin Hay. Colin, I adore that song. It is truly one of my favorite songs ever.
Well, thank you very much. I'm quite fond of it myself.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard it, it just spoke to me. And tell me about the writing of Overkill. How did that one come to you?
Well, I remember Who Can It Be Now had done quite well, and it went from an E down to D. I was messing around, and I thought, well, maybe there's something else I can come up with that's kind of similar to that. So I just went from E to E flat. Didn't go quite as far as D, and that seemed to work quite well as well, musically. I don't know. It's one of those things where I think the music was something which was came pretty quickly, and then I wasn't quite sure what I was writing about, and sometimes that happens, but I think that at the time we were about, everything was going to be different for us. Everything was changing very, very quickly. And we were diving into the unknown. So it was one of those situations where be careful what you ask for, you might get it. And
yeah.
And it was kind of, it had a sadness to it or something, because you go along and you're walking around the streets, you've been walking around for years wanting this thing to happen, wanting to have some kind of success and kind of impact on your environment. And then that happens, and then all of a sudden it's very, very different, and there's something sad about leaving that old life behind and jumping into the unknown, which it definitely was, uncharted waters. I think also there was a hint there in the song too about my kind of struggle with addiction, and that came a bit later, you know, but I didn't even kind of realize it at the time. But
yeah,
you know, you get premonitions of things like that, don't you? And sometime, and then hopefully work on them when you can. But I think that, I don't know, it's got a haunting quality to it, that song, and I think a lot of people really just pick up on it and relate to it in some way or other.
It really resonates with me pretty deeply, lyrically, and the way it's performed. It's just I just love the song, and it means a lot to me. I can identify with a lot of what's going on emotionally in that song. Yeah. So,
right.
And I think that's why it resonates with so many people, why people love it so much. You know, there's a version of it that I saw online where you perform it in front of an audience that's a choir.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful version. Did you have fun doing that?
Yeah, that was very good. That's two Canadian guys who do that, I believe. And they've had great success with it. And they're very, very good at what they do, and they come and the audience just arrive, and they're just, you know, people off the street who want to sing. And
yeah.
They come in, and in the course of about 2 hours, they teach them the song, teach them the parts they're going to sing, and then I come in and we just sing it. And
yeah.
off we go, and it was magic. It was really great.
It really is beautiful. I encourage people to watch it. It's online. It's the Overkill version with an entire audience that becomes a choir and sings along with Colin on the song. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful version of the song. There is also a version of the song that was done by a band called Laszlo Toth.
Laszlo Bain.
Yeah, and then you come in, and you come in during the final verse and hit those notes that nobody else can hit.
Yes, that's right. Yes, well, my friend Chad Fisher, who did that, who's my closest friend here in Los Angeles, and he had a band called Laszlo Bain in the 90s, and he wanted to do a version of that song, which he did, and then he called me up and he said, "Oh, you have to come and sing the last verse because I can't get up there, you know." So,
yeah.
So I was only too happy to oblige.
Yeah, I really love that version of the song. And the first time I heard it, I was like, wait a minute. You know, because when the last verse comes in and then you suddenly are on the song, I'm like, wait a minute, Colin Hay comes in for the last verse.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun doing that video. That was fun doing that.
Yeah, very cool. Now, you have a connection with Zach Braff. You know, you played Overkill you were on Scrubs. How did that happen? How did your connection with Zach Braff happen? You wrote a beautiful song for Garden State, and how did that happen?
Well, Chad Fisher, the guy I just mentioned before, and Kerry Brothers, who's a singer-songwriter, he's a friend. They're friends of Zach. I think that I got introduced to Zach through Chad or Kerry Brothers. I can't remember which one, but it was before. It was just before he was in Scrubs. He had just got the gig actually in Scrubs. So when I met him, so. He said he was going to take my CDs in and see if he could get them played on the show because he liked a few of the songs that I did. And so he played them for a guy called Bill Lawrence, and he was a creator of the show. And so they liked my stuff, and in a way, I think that he was took it upon himself to try and make a difference, because he was somewhat annoyed that some of my material wasn't being played on the radio and so forth. So he just thought, well, I've got a TV show, so I'm going to expose it through that and see if I can make a difference. So
yeah.
I'll be forever be in gratitude to those guys for that, you know. And the song I Just Don't Think I'll Ever Get Over You was a song that I had for maybe 10 years before it was in Zach's film. And he loved the song. The song came out on an album of mine, I think, about, you know, 10 years before Garden State came out. So mm-hmm. he used that song in the film and gave it to new life. That's quite an understatement. In other words, I think the song was really discovered through being released on that soundtrack, which was a great soundtrack to be part of for that film.
Yeah, and it was that soundtrack was very, very popular. And that song, I got to tell you, Colin, that song is beautiful. I love that song. I Just Don't Think I'll Get Over You. It's a beautiful song. Well, that's interesting. Do you still keep in touch with Zach?
Well, I run into him now and again if I'm going through New York or wherever. I haven't seen him for a while, but yeah, I see him from time to time, sure.
Mm-hmm. And was it fun to do?
Randomly, you know.
Yeah. Now, was it fun to do Scrubs? Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was great. You know, television's, you know, you go along there and you sit around for hours and then you go and do something for 5 minutes and then you're done.
That's a dream job for many of us.
Yeah. Get in that, sit in that chair, sing that song, right? You are okay. Okay, now lie in this box. We're going to put you into a. We're in a morgue now. So, okay, fair enough. And then, right, you're done. Off you go. You can go home now.
Well, that sounds great. It sounds great, Colin. We're going to talk some more. Hold on a second, okay? Colin Hay is with us from Men at Work, and I'm just thrilled that he's on the show. One of my musical heroes, and 312-981-7200 for talk or text. We got the text lines going, right? Okay, I just wanted to make sure because we're in a different studio. We're working on everything's okay in there, Tom. Okay, good. Yeah, everything is fine. We're working out of a different studio. They're deep cleaning the other studio that we normally use, so we're in Studio A. So we have to get used to it a little bit. We got to get used to it. So anyway, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're here. We're live, AM 720 WGN, with you 24/7 to keep you company, to keep you informed, and to keep your spirits up as we go through kind of a rough time right now. But more with Colin Hay on 720 WGN.
Dropped a coin in the wishing well, but it's a long time dry. I watch that old Greyhound bus kick up dust as it rolls on by. I asked the man in the station, he said, son, just take a look around. There hasn't been a train through here since they all came tumbling down. Come tumbling down.
All right. Nick DiGilio here, live in the Skyline Studio A. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are here until 4 o'clock. Coming up, we're going to play some classic stand-up from the Tonight Show, Johnny Carson Show, which we do every morning. You can watch that on Antenna TV every night. George Miller is going to be our comedian from 1986. We're going to talk about celebs without a star on the Walk of Fame. You might be surprised by that. And we will have a Know Your Onion, where we quiz you, Tom quizzes you, reads you a news headline, and you have to decide whether it's real or it's from the satirical newspaper, The Onion. And the news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. My guest is Colin Hay. You know him from Men at Work and his great solo career. Colin, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit about you wrote a song for Ringo Starr, and then you actually toured all over the place with Ringo Starr and in his all-star band. Tell me about that experience.
Well, I first was asked to play with Ringo in 2003, so I went out on the road with him then, and then I didn't get asked back for a number of years, which I did a television special with him in 2005, and then I did another tour in 2008,
mm-hmm.
and then last year the last couple of years, I think I've done the tours with him. So It's brilliant. There's nothing wrong with it at all. It's a great, you get to play all different songs with great musicians, be a side man for everyone else's tunes, and you get to play with Ringo and hang out with Ringo. It's just, you know, it's beautiful. I love it.
Well, we had, we've been telling the listeners that you were going to be on the show, and many of the listeners are very, very excited about that. And I have heard from people via, you know, the internet and emails and stuff like that, that they saw you with the Ringo and the All-Star Band, and it's just so entertaining, and you were so great, and they wanted to, I had listeners that wanted to compliment you on that.
Oh, thanks. No, the last tour was great. I really loved it, and that was... the same band has been for a while, except for myself and Hamish Stewart, who's played the Average White Band, and before that, the tour before that was Graham Goldman from 10cc, and so but before that, it'd been the same band. Todd Rundgren was in it before that for a few years, and Steve Lukather and Greg Biffen on drums and Ringo, and Greg on keyboards from Santana. Mm-hmm. And so it's an astonishing group of musicians.
Great group of musicians. What a lineup! Really, wow. That's amazing. Do you like being a solo artist, Colin? I mean, you were in Men at Work. You were in other bands. Do you like that better? Working solo.
It's just different. You know, being in a band is like being in a gang.
Yeah.
So you travel together, and you it's a whole different dynamic. You're on your own. There's a lot of time. You have a lot of time by yourself, and I kind of enjoy that a lot of the time. So I like touring solo. But there's something about a band too that's just fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a combination of different energies and different people bring different things.
Yeah.
But I don't. You know, I think probably my natural game is just playing guitar and singing.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done.
Yeah. You dabbled in acting too, Colin. Tell me about that.
I think that the operative word there is dabbled.
Well, you started out doing Shakespeare, am I right? Is that right?
No, I didn't start out doing it. I did Shakespeare last year.
Oh, last year.
Okay. A year ago, I played Feste in the Melbourne Theatre Company's production of Twelfth Night.
Oh, okay.
And that was frightening. That was traumatizing.
Really?
So, yeah. But so when they asked me to do it, I immediately got frightened. And so I thought, oh, I better do it if I'm that scared.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you were talking about this earlier about you met the guys from you met a couple of the guys when you after you had done you were doing Ned Kelly. Tell me about Ned Kelly.
Do you know who Ned Kelly was?
Yeah, you wouldn't tell everybody. It might be people who might not know.
Well, he was a what they call a bush ranger. I suppose that he was not liked by the police. He was a someone who lived on the wrong side of the law, and they hunted him and down and his family in the 1800s in Australia. So he was what they termed a bushranger, and he famously donned this armor made of metal when it was in a showdown with the police, and they eventually hanged him in Melbourne.
Mm.
So, but he was. He was one of those characters that was larger than life that people are quite were fascinated and indeed still are fascinated with.
Yeah.
So they made a film of him. They've done a bunch of films about Ned Kelly.
Yeah.
And this was a musical which was done in 1977, directed by a guy called Reg Livermore, a very famous performer in Australia, director, writer, performer,
yeah.
brilliant guy. And so yeah, I did it. I was in the chorus, and I learned a lot. But it was just before Men at Work happened, and I was writing songs, and I was excited about performing. So it was just kind of like a perfect introduction in a way, just to being a an entertainer, if you like, you know, or someone who's on the stage, and this was a professional production, and they actually paid you, which was brilliant.
Right. Well, that's great.
So after I was done with that, I just went back to Melbourne and started working with Ron, and then the band formed pretty quickly after that.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Before we let you go, Colin, I know that before you postponed and rescheduled your tour dates, you were going to donate some money to help relieve the Australian bushfire going on. Tell me a little bit about how that's affecting Australia, and maybe a little bit about how people can help.
Well, there's many charities. If you go online, there's a heap of them, you know, and you can take your pick as to which ones take your fancy. There's a lot of wildlife devastation, and there's a lot of charities to help in the recovery funds, which is where I funneled some funds down there to a charity. It's called the Cabargo Recovery Fund.
Mm-hmm.
It's a GoFundMe page, but it's a town called Cabargo, which is Cobargo, which is it's in southern New South Wales, and it was devastated by the fires. And it's just a town that I had a personal connection with in the 70s, because my girlfriend and I at the time had some land on the Cabargo Bermagiri Road. And I wrote Who Can It Be Now there, and so it was just an area which is really, really beautiful, and some of the most beautiful coastline that you'll find anywhere in the world. And so that was the fires just went right through there and devastated that town. So that's all the money basically from the meet and greets that people paid for just went straight down there. So you know, we need a lot more money, but at least if you did pay some money to do that, then you know that it's going to go towards, you know, getting a new generator, or helping to, you know, rebuild the local hall where they have their music festival every year, you know. So it's going to, and also just in the recovery of people who need long term counseling, you know, for 10, sometimes 20 years because of the devastation and things like that. Horrendous things are happening in your life, you know.
Yeah, I saw, you know, I've seen the footage and I've read the stories, and we've had guests on, you know, who wanted to help out Australia, and it's incredible. And I know that there are a lot of bushfires in Australia. It's not an uncommon thing, but this has just been devastating.
Well, that's right. So it's another conversation, which is probably for another time. But it's exacerbated by the extreme climate change and all the things that are happening down there, whether they're fires, the super fires, the floods, the deep floods, and the sort of droughts, the long-lasting droughts. So everything is exacerbated by the changing climate.
Yeah.
So the fires are just getting to the point where there's really nothing you can do. And the problem is when the fires converge, and then they become just a whole twisters. They become weather systems themselves, and there's just nothing that can stop them.
Yeah. All right. Well, Colin, listen, it was such a pleasure to meet you and talk to you. I've been a fan for forever, and I just think you're great. And I'm sorry that you had to postpone your tour. And best of luck. And we're all sticking together through this weird time right now, Colin. But it was a joy to talk to you.
Yeah, that's the message right there. We're going to do that. And in Chicago, I was going to be playing at Thalia Hall, which is a great place where I love to play. And But I'll be back there, so I appreciate people coming along to see me. I love playing in Chicago.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Thanks a lot. Right. I'll see you again.
Okay, thanks again. Colin Hay, everybody, from Men at Work. Well, that was kind of a dream come true. Oh, man.